Hey, Erica, hit us with the intro.
Help! I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
I'm going to handle the intro today. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello. Why is your finger up, Erica?
I'm just getting Jared a rundown. Sorry.
Okay. Well, ignore
you
that.
Can share my
Thank
rundown.
You so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating.
Basically.
One of us does not suck at dating anymore. We're dropping like flies over here. Welcome back from your honeymoon, Jared. How was Hawaii?
Thank you. Hawaii was great, man. So we stayed at the Ritz-Carlton? The Ritz-Carlton?
Hey, we're not getting paid by the Ritz-Carlton.
I know, but that's where we stayed. Dude, it was awesome. So we left Thursday, got there Thursday night, stayed four nights. It was amazing. We legitimately did not leave the resort. The cool thing is Ashley and I are on the same page about what we enjoy on vacation, which is laying by the pool, going to the beach.
The beach?
Yep.
Going to the beach.
So in love, he can't speak.
Staying on the resort and just like going out to dinner there, ordering room service, and it's the best weekend ever.
Oh, that sounds like my worst nightmare.
Singing.
Oh,
no,
the
I'm
best.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
It was the best.
Singing songs to each other.
Singing songs to each other. We actually watched Jerry Maguire in the hotel room. One night we ended up ordering room service and just staying, and we're like, let's watch a rom-com. And we always quote Jerry Maguire. That was like one of the first things we bonded about. I think that's one of the first reasons Ashley liked me.
Show me the money, Jerry.
Show me the money. Well, I quoted, I forget what line I quoted, but it was a random line from Jerry Maguire. And she's like, you know Jerry Maguire? And I was like, yeah, I love that movie. And so we always kind of joke around about that. So we're like, we have to watch it together. So we ended up watching it together in Hawaii.
Wait, what was that song you guys were singing to each other? I was dying. I think I replayed it like five times.
Which song? Oh,
when you were like singing.
I sang
to her.
Two. So the first day it was, she was like, "What?" I was like, "What kind of music do you want to listen to?" Because playing Pandora next to the beach. She's like, "Let's listen to Rob Thomas." So Lonely No More came on. So of course I'm going to serenade her because Rob Thomas is.
No, wasn't that one.
No, and then I sang.
There's a lot of serenading.
I know
going
there was a lot of serenading, yeah. And so I sang "Girlfriend" to her.
Oh,
by NSYNC. I love singing.
Would you be my girlfriend?
It was about that time that I had to unfollow both Jared.
I don't blame you there. I do not blame you one bit, but the response from when we came out has been nothing short of
overwhelming. Let's talk about that for a minute. So it's been pretty much exactly a week since we've announced the relationship of you and Ashley, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It seems like everyone is just enamored with everything, which is great. And that's the response that you would have hoped for. How has it changed your relationship dynamic? I mean, obviously, like, it's hard because you're still in this very much honeymoon phase. You guys basically literally were just in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But does it feel like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders? Do you feel more comfortable with anything? Has anything changed in that, like, just between the two of you?
No, I don't think anything's changed between the two of us. For the past couple of months since we've been dating, it's been incredible. And we keep falling in love more and more every day. And it just continued to do that over the weekend, even with being out. The only difference is now... obviously, we can post on social media together, which is cool. I can show off my girlfriend. And then other than that,
you like,
saying
that, girlfriend?
Girlfriend. I know. It's nice being like, yeah, my girlfriend. That's what we always call each other. We're just like, she's like my boyfriend. I'm like, my girlfriend. So, yeah, I know. Everybody's going to throw up in their mouth.
No, I'm loving it.
But
I just vomited. Sorry.
But other than that, no, nothing's really changed. Like, we'll read comments because everybody's been so overly nice and supportive of everything.
So did you read all the comments?
No, God, no.
There
were
like 40,000 comments on Ashley's picture.
Ashley got about 40,000 comments.
What?
Yeah, on the first picture. And I got about 27,000 comments. It was insane. I've never experienced anything like that. Even being on the show, I don't think I've ever experienced anything like I did last week.
Why do you think that is? I mean,
I honestly have no idea.
Well, obviously, so everyone's been kind of following yours and Ashley's story to some extent since Paradise Season 2.
Yeah.
Right?
2015. Holy moly. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I met Ashley almost 3 years ago because it was early June 2015.
So that was the first time you guys met?
Yeah.
On Paradise?
Paradise Season 2. Yeah, when she walked down the stairs with Lauren. First time I ever met Ashley.
But I would venture to say, and like obviously we can't use Instagram metrics to validate like anything like that, but I would say that the picture that Ashley posted of you two is the most liked picture that any Bachelor contestant has ever posted. I'm not basing that on any foundation whatsoever, but I think it's got to be true.
I don't think it's the most liked. It's up there, but I think the difference is that we just... It's crazy to think we just posted it online. That's how this is. We weren't, I mean, obviously we've been on shows, but this wasn't coming from a show. We started dating off the show and it was very real and very genuine. And then we just posted on our social media pages that we're together and we came out with a story of us so we could just pretty much explain in one sitting everything that kind of happened. And then it just exploded. And then, yeah, that was a crazy day because I was really nervous when we announced because I didn't know how people were going to react. I didn't even know if people were going to react.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the entire day I was thinking, I don't even know if anybody's going to really care.
Well,
I don't blame them. But then it just exploded.
I think people like you and Ashley, and then you guys together as a couple, it's just like, what?
And I also think nobody just ever saw this coming. And that I think that's the other thing. If I'm being honest, I think that was the other factor as well, that when we posted we were together, people were like, what? Like, we need to know everything. How the hell did this happen? Mm-hmm. And people, and so it's been nothing short of incredible. I know I keep using that word, but it's something that I've never experienced before. And I'm very grateful for everything that's come from it, because everybody's just been so supportive. And I've gotten so many tweets and comments about how people are like, I believe in love again. And while that creates a lot of pressure, it doesn't really faze me, because I'm completely in love with Ashley and I see myself spending the rest of my life with her. And so, like, it's nice that people comment on us and say, you guys have had your ups, you guys have had your downs. Jared, you've been an idiot for a long time, which I have been. And it's nice for people to be like, but it's real. You guys are real. That's probably the biggest compliment.
I think the hope that it gives me is, because I'm very black and white in relationships. Like, once it's over, I'm not turning back. But what this gives me is a hope that there are second chances.
That's what the big thing for
second
me.
Oh, stop it.
Boy, here we go. I'm going to start that rumor.
Wow.
Rumor mill is already cycling.
No, I'm just kidding. I do think that, because it did kind of come out of nowhere to the lesser informed. Obviously, Vanessa and I and everyone that's kind of close to you guys knew what was going on, all that kind of stuff. But I do think logistically, the way that it was handled, where you guys, not that you have to announce it, but you posted each other on your Instagram, basically announcing it. But before you did that, the story of us kind of caught everyone up with what you guys have been up to over the past year, because you don't have I don't want to call it a luxury, but you don't have the opportunity to go on a TV show again to then, like, kind of let the story unfold. So you kind of were able to sit down with the 45-minute video and be like, this is the story of us, funny enough, because that's the title of the show. Mm-hmm. But then not only that, because you described the first 2 years of Paradise, but then you also caught everyone up over the past 6 months or so, which is where most of this stuff kind of started to take shape.
Exactly, and which is what everybody wanted to know of, like, Ashley was just on Winter Games, and she left with somebody, and then obviously they broke up, but, like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Ashley and I wanted to just date also for a couple of months and keep it quiet, for the simple fact that we really just wanted to work on us, and we didn't want to start dating and immediately post that we were together, because we knew no matter how big or little that announcement would have, created, it was important to us just to really focus on each other and have no exterior pressure, and really just work to develop this relationship. And that's what we did. And I'm so glad we did, because we were able to really, we've already had a strong foundation, but we were able to create a stronger foundation and open a different side of our relationship that we never explored and were able to explore on our own without any exterior pressure.
Do you think that your relationship, again, it's only a week since the announcement, which is what we'll refer to it as. Do you think that the relationship has strengthened day after day? Or is it kind of
since the announcement?
Just like in just maybe the past week to the week before announcing it. Like, do you think there's a difference at all? Or do you think it's great to have the blessings of everyone. And it's crazy too, because you guys announced it and then people like myself included, I think Vanessa as well, and people that don't even live in California aren't even like physically close to us, were posting, like showing their support.
Chris Harrison posted.
Chris Harrison.
He did?
Which was insane.
That's big.
Chris Harrison posted. We woke up the next morning and Ashley was like, Chris Harrison just posted a picture of us. And we're geeking out like we don't know him, but
right.
He posted the picture that Ashley posted and he said, I'm Chris Harrison and I approve this message. And it was the most adorable thing, and it just really meant a lot to us.
It's people that you don't interact with on a daily basis, still showing their support, that you know personally, like that you're friends with, like
like a
Tanner or Jade. I think they supported all that stuff as well.
Well, Tanner is our fairy godfather. Yeah. If you watch The Story of Us, you will understand that reference. And excuse me, Tanner posted, and you posted, and Becca posted, and the amount of Nick posted, and Vanessa, and a lot of the producers that obviously are close friends, and just people that have meant so much to us. Over the years, in our friendships, it's so nice to have the blessing of our friends. Mm-hmm. That is a huge factor as well. And obviously, we're very grateful that we had that even before the announcement, before we even came out and said we're together. You know, past couple of months that we've been dating, everybody's just been like, you guys are great together, and it means the world to us.
E! News, I feel like once a day posted something.
E! News,
cute.
Oh yeah, didn't they post something a couple of days ago too?
They posted yesterday. They said it was the cute. It's thank you, E! News. They said so they reposted the video of me singing "Girlfriend" to Ashley, serenading her, and they said even though the Bachelorette starts tonight, these two get our final rose.
Yes,
very
yes,
sweet.
Yes,
wow. And apparently, they tweeted also over the weekend. They were like a PDA filled weekend of you know Ashley and Jared in Hawaii, and I don't think it was that PDA.
Oh, it was.
I mean, I guess
you're
it was.
Kissing her yeah.
I was
her
kissing a lot, but I just, I guess maybe
you know
my
what?
Level
because it
PDA
came from
different.
Like nothing to everything.
I guess maybe that's
there was
it.
No like slow transition to it. It was like boom.
Exactly, zero
were
to 100 guys, real fast.
Were you guys like completely hiding it in public? Like you wouldn't hold hands in public?
No,
like,
I weren't. We went to Stagecoach for a couple weeks before,
yeah.
And
Dean was so
totally...
funny. I forget what you said. Yeah, oh, we were totally. We don't.
How did this not come out then?
Honestly, we do. Well, I think the big factor was that Ashley and I have been so close for so long that the idea of us hanging out together has never been weird at all.
Yeah.
We've always hung out together. We've always gone places together. We've been seen in public together for the past 3 years. And so when people see us out in public, they probably just like, yeah, it's Ashley and Jared hanging out. And it was only until, you know, people would come up and I'm, you know, holding her hand or kissing her. And people were like, whoa, what's going on? Are you guys together? But over the Stagecoach weekend, we were not hiding it. And Dean, you said something so funny. I wish I could remember. But you were like, you were talking about us. And you guys, yeah, you guys are adorable. But it also makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
And it still does.
Yeah,
it still
great.
Does.
It's great.
But I love it. But I don't love the throw up that it gives me. What do you guys think about the couple named Jashley? Because that's kind of stuck with you for a couple years.
Jashley was created back in Bachelor in Paradise season 2. Because obviously, whenever you're on a show, everybody gets your nickname if you're a couple.
What was yours, Vanessa?
Yeah, what was?
I know. I was trying
Vanick?
To think of that. No, that doesn't sound good.
Nikessa?
Maybe Nikessa.
Nikessa.
I don't
okay.
know. I don't even
I don't
think we had
there
a name.
Was one.
Yeah, I don't think we had a name.
Big fan here, you know. I don't remember there being
no.
one.
I don't think there was.
You had a name. There's no way.
I don't think we had a name.
You 100%.
It is hard to combine Vanessa and Nick, though, but Nikessa's kind of.
I like Nikessa.
That's very exotic.
Yeah.
I like that a
Anyways,
lot.
Anyways, Jashley, you like it?
Yeah, I like Jashley. Sure, whatever. It's great. It's phenomenal. What about yours? What was yours?
I've had a You would have been talking about those.
I'm so cool. What was yours and Christina's on Paradise?
Christina.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a good one. That's Christina.
Then it was,
that's
a really good one.
And then it was Danielle.
Danielle.
And then it was
Lesdian.
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 Well, Lesdian. Oh, I'm sorry. Lesdian. But I pronounced it Lesdian because it's just funnier that way.
My favorite's Christina. That's great.
Christina works. It
yeah.
works. It certainly
Christina's.
Works. What about Mr. Iaconetti? How do we feel about that?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, that was the best tweet I've ever had. Simply by the fact that Jordan, Sean,
yeah.
and Tanner all posted underneath it. So over the weekend, we went to the resort, and they were like, Mr. and Mrs. Haven, and Ashley and I just looked at each other, and we were like, yeah, that works. And so after that, though, for the entire weekend, it was Mr. Iaconetti, and I just stopped correcting them because I kind of found it adorable that they were calling me Mr. Iaconetti. Because I always joke with Ashley about how she kind of wears the pants a little bit in the relationship, and so I'm like, I might as well just take your last name. Obviously, she's going to take my last name, you know, when we get married.
Why is
when?
Obvious?
Ooh.
Because I said over the entire weekend, I'm always kind of a pessimist, and I kept saying, you know, oh, if we have kids one day, if we get married, and she's like, what are you talking about with this if? When? And I was like, okay, yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
But wait, so you're not open at all to taking Ashley's last name when you get married?
She wants to take my last name.
Oh, it's Ashley Highbon.
Yeah, which is
holy
shit.
Wait,
so how does that work out in the States?
Let's not talk about that right now. We're talking about it.
What do you mean if, Jared?
That's the thing. But she's absolutely right, though, because, you know, I plan on marrying Ashley. And so the idea of me saying if, I was thinking more about it, was ridiculous. I just always done that. I've always never kind of really projected into the future. I've been always scared to do that. But at this point, I really should.
So get the Mr. Iaconetti's in while we can, because soon enough, it'll go back to Mr. and Mrs. Highbond.
Yes.
Obviously not soon, but like, yeah.
Yeah. But it was so funny when I tweeted that and I said, people, you know, the entire weekend, people are calling me Mr. Iaconetti, and I'm weirdly okay with it. Because then Sean Booth, who is obviously with Caitlin Bristow, they're engaged. He's like, get used to it, bud. I've been called Mr. Bristow over the past 3 years at every hotel we've gone to. And then Jordan Rogers tweeted and he was like, Mr. Fletcher has the same problem over here. And then Tanner tweeted and he's like, Mr. Roper has been trying to call in for late checkout for the past 3 years and he's starting to get pissed off.
I didn't see Tanner's, but that's funny.
Oh, it's great.
That's pretty cute.
So now that you're in a relationship,
Yes.
Do you still feel like you are mentally equipped to be a co-host of this podcast?
Of course. There are things
Are we hosting auditions here? Or?
Well, no. I know, just, right? There used to be three people that sucked at dating. Mm-hmm. I would venture to say that one of those people does not suck at dating anymore.
Yeah, I suck less. Being in a relationship.
There are still many things within our relationship that I could do a lot better at. I could become a lot better
Well,
that's a great question. I think I haven't really thought about it, in all honesty. And
I guarantee you, if we got Ashley in here, which I, one of these days, of course, we'd love to have both of you in, but she would say there's absolutely nothing that Jared does wrong. But I'm sure, right? Like
she has, because we've talked about this before, about like things that I can do better, you know, to make her feel more comfortable or loved or so on and so forth. And she's said the same things to me and she hasn't really critiqued me all that much. Also for the simple fact that I try to give her as much confidence as possible. And so I do love PDA and I'm always kissing her and I'm always telling how wonderful she is, but it also comes from a part of me that is so grateful that I have Ashley in my life.
Were you always big on PDA?
Yeah. I remember I told Ashley a couple of years ago how physical touch is a very important part of the relationship for me, and she was like, "You're out of your mind because you don't touch anybody." And then over the past couple months, she was like, "You are spot on. You are very touchy and kissy," and so that makes me feel really good that I know myself at least a little bit. But of course, there's things that I can work on. There are a lot of things that I need to work on within our relationship to become a better partner, a better boyfriend, and hopefully one day a better husband.
Since you brought it up, do you think that your love languages are compatible? Your physical touch and what else would you say?
Yes, because she is very much on physical touch as well. And so I am always holding her hand or kissing her arm or just making her feel confident. And it's a big factor for both of us. Words of affirmation is something that we're both very big on. I tell her a lot how much I love her and care about her.
He's saying this with the biggest smile on his face.
Because it makes me very happy. Our love languages are very compatible. She does a lot of acts of service, which is very endearing and something that means a lot to me as well. Quality time is very big for us. We make sure that we spend a lot of time together. And not just, you know, being in the same room together, but making sure that we are
quality
time. Exactly. There's a difference between spending time with someone and spending quality time with somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes our schedules can get very busy, especially in Los Angeles. So we make sure that we always try to spend as much quality time as we can and not just like, "Hey, how's your day? Good. Okay, let's go to bed." It's like, no, like I make sure that the first thing I do in the morning, I try to make sure that I say good morning and kiss her before I even check my phone, because I know that's just like a little something, but it changes the day. Because I remember I know how much meaning that has, and so I try to actively do that every day without checking my phone. Like I'll roll over, kiss her, say good morning, and then check my phone.
Who's the big spoon?
Oh, I'm the big spoon.
Every night?
Yeah, every night. I can't be little spoon. I don't like the feeling
I
of being a big spoon.
I love being little spoon.
I'll say, I know a lot of guys who like little spoon.
Yeah,
I've just never been one of those guys. Like, sometimes, of course, it's fun if I'll, like, cuddle up next to her and she has her arm around me, but I've never been in the position of actual little spoon. I like to be the dominant
the
presence.
Killer.
Yeah, so I like being the big spoon.
What's great about your guys' relationship, too, is obviously you're weirdly in this honeymoon phase, even though you guys have known each other for so long, but I feel like a lot of couples will fizzle because they get introduced to the honeymoon phase too early.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you guys have working in your favor for sure is the fact that you guys have such a good foundation. I know you always say this whenever you talk about the relationship, is you guys have been best friends for the past 3 years. And so this honeymoon phase is basically just kind of icing on the cake for you, because, you know, you're getting this positive support and attention from, you know, friends and whoever else has been kind of following along with your story. But you also know once that dies down, you still have the friendship and the great relationship that you guys have together to fall back on.
Yeah, of course. We have created such a strong foundation based off of this, you know, based off our friendship, that the relationship aspect of our lives now has just blossomed to become this honeymoon phase that, of course, one day, you know, it will fizzle out. But the important thing is there's nobody I'd rather hang out with than Ashley. Mm-hmm. Like, not only are we boyfriend, girlfriend, and I'm in love with her, but there's
Dean,
baby.
Don't cry.
Dean, babe, I love you, Dean. But also, I just love spending time with her. And even it was so interesting this past weekend. I went to her place last Wednesday, stayed the night. We left on Thursday. So I've been with her. And then I left this morning. I stayed over last night, left this morning. And that was the first time this morning I hadn't seen her since Wednesday night. And we both looked at each other and we were like, we don't get sick of seeing each other. We've known each other for 3 years. And even, yeah, I was leaving this morning. I was like, I don't want to leave.
Oh,
like,
I just don't. I love that feeling.
But we both were having that feeling. It was like, that's when you know you have something really special. When you can spend 6 days straight with somebody.
And not get fed up.
Go on vacation and not even be like, I kind of just need a little breather. It's like, no, I don't want to leave you. And so that was something that we've always known, but this morning kind of just reaffirmed it a little bit.
Wait, I saw that you did a little bachelor type date.
Yeah, so when we were in Hawaii, let me get the name because I want to give a shout out to them because they were so wonderful. There was this Instagram handle that reached out to me that does picnics. And her name is, her Instagram handle is Lucy Sunshine Creations. And what they do, she just created this company in Hawaii and they do picnics. So it's called Pop-Up Picnics. And it was fantastic. And they bring like exotic fruits and champagne. It's literally like a bachelor date. And they kind of set it up for you. So there's like towels and rugs and pillows. And so you can just, and there's a little umbrella. So I put together this little picnic for Ashley. And we went, it was the only time we left the resort. And we walked 5 minutes because it was just on the beach over. And so we walked up and it felt like we were walking to a bachelor date because she didn't really know what was going on. I was holding her hand and was like, okay, we're just going to go down this way and down the stairs.
Did you give her a date card?
No, I knew. Come on. That's a little bit too much.
Any
don't
roses
you think?
At the end of the date?
No roses. Well, even
the airplane ride home.
Yeah, I'll tell you that in a second. It was the cutest thing I've ever witnessed. But on the picnic day, we walked down and she was great. And this woman, Lucy, put together this little picnic area for us. So we sat down, took pictures. We just had some champagne and had some fruit and crackers and cheese right on the beach. And it was this beautiful little moment that we had. And it was great. And I'm glad I was able to put it together. So thank you, Lucy, so much for putting that together. If you ever want a pop-up picnic, if you're in Maui, hopefully maybe she'll expand, but right now if you're ever in Maui and looking for like a little Maui. Date a special date thing to do, totally look up Lucy's I've already forgotten the Instagram handle, but it's picnic pop-up picnics. I'm sure if you Google it was fantastic date. So I put that together for her. And then on the ride home we got on United, so we're flying United Airlines. And so we're waiting.
I saw that,
and
was
then
so cute.
The flight attendant at the gate came up and she said, do you guys want to board early? And we were like, sure, if you don't mind, that'd be great. So we were like, she must be a bachelor fan. She's very sweet. So we were the first ones to board the plane, and we get on. And first of all, we're in row 35, and I have a middle seat. So we're walking. We're the only ones on the plane. I'm walking all the way back to the plane. And then we see these two roses attached to our seats with little notes and these two flight attendants who are laughing hysterically. I'm like, what the hell is this? So we walk up and they put little roses on our seats with little notes that says, Jared and Ashley, will you accept these roses?
That is
and
adorable.
And it was the sweetest
so
thing.
Thoughtful.
And it made my middle seat back to Los Angeles so much more enjoyable.
Six-hour flight.
Six-hour middle seat, because I was like, how could I possibly ever be mad?
They didn't even bump you up
anything.
To first class?
No. Oh. But it almost made it better, the fact that they had to put our roses. We were row 35. I was doing the middle seat. It wasn't even like we had first class. It just made it so much more real.
That's funny.
It was
great. I mean, as a couple that got engaged off The Bachelor, I never got that special treatment.
That's why this entire experience has just been so overwhelming, because like I said, I've never experienced anything like this, and so it's been just...
I know, I feel like you can talk about this for days.
Oh, I could talk. Of course I could. I'm just giddy about it, and so it's very easy to talk about, because I just left Hawaii with Ashley, and we had the greatest time. We just hung by the pool, hung by the beach, drank, ate, maybe kissed a couple times.
Aww.
And
only kissed.
Maybe.
And that's
maybe
it.
You
that's
showed
it.
Us
hey,
you guys
go. Did you guys see Ashley's tweet about on Sunday night? We're such idiots. We were. Oh, my mic keeps going in. I'm sorry. We were recreating the Dirty Dancing scene.
Of course. Because what else would you be
doing
on it?
And so, it's so stupid. And so we were dancing in the room, not to Hungry Eyes. That's what it was. Like Hungry Eyes.
I don't know this song.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, not Time of Your Life, but the other one.
Oh, okay.
And so. And then all of a sudden we like heard the poor little maid. She was like, excuse me, knock, knock, as we're like dancing. And then so it was very embarrassing because she walked in on us dancing in our bedroom, fully clothed. Like we were just having fun. But and then Ashley tweeted, it was like, you know, some couples get walked in by the, you know, the housemaids having sex, and we get walked in recreating a dance from Dirty Dancing. And so that's kind of the story of our lives.
Still
this
vomiting.
Is why we love you guys.
Still vomiting over here.
But it was great. And it was so much fun. And
in a very different world. Dean, how's your dating life?
Yes.
We talked about this earlier.
In a very different world. Everything Jared just said for the past 20 minutes, whatever the opposite of that is my dating life right now. And that's literally all I need to say about it, because there's just, it's just.
You're taking time for yourself.
I've gone on a few dates.
Oh.
Really?
Put myself back out there.
Like, how have they been? People we know.
Update us.
We're fine. You know, casual. Nothing too crazy.
How did you meet these people?
They're mutual friends.
Okay.
Which is the only way that I'll ever do it at this point.
You won't go on a dating app?
No, I will never go on a dating app.
Interesting.
Oh, so you're not on like Raya or any
I would of... never go on a dating app. I used to be on dating apps.
Hey, listen,
apps.
I said I would never go on The Bachelor, and I did. So.
Sure.
Never say never. You
know, yeah, never say never.
But I do feel bad that, well, I don't feel bad. I don't want to take away from Jared's spotlight right now.
No, please go.
I liked listening to Jared talk about this great romance that he's had over the past week.
Sorry, I could talk for days. Please, you keep going.
And the more you talk, the less we have to talk. So it's great. No, my dating life has been pretty lackluster, and that's kind of the way that I want it to be. You know, I just playing it slow and...
And cooking a lot of steaks for yourself?
I cooked some steaks this past weekend. I was pretty sick this past weekend. I was weirdly, like, I had a body cold, but, like, I wasn't... congested or anything, but I had like migraines and aches and pains.
Ooh, the worst.
So I didn't really do anything for the Memorial Day weekend, but I stayed home and cooked a bunch of steaks and hamburgers for myself and for my roommates. And honestly, I don't know. So Jared, I know, has had these Omaha steaks. They sent me and Jared a box each.
Oh, they're my dad's favorite steaks
in
the world.
You guys keep talking about them.
They were really good. So
good.
What I wasn't expecting was how much food came in the box. So I thawed everything out because I send it basically in this big, cool styrofoam box with dry ice. Frozen meat, like it's like burgers, ribeyes, lamb, veal, bison, all that kind of stuff. And I thought it all at the same time, thinking like, oh, I'll just have a bunch of friends over and we can cook it all and eat it all together. But my friends were all out celebrating Memorial Day. So I was like, I'm just going to cook it all for myself.
Why not?
And it was delicious. Like I said, there is so much. It was pork, there was veal, there was lamb, there was bison. I ate myself into a food coma, which was incredible. It's exactly what I needed because, again, I wasn't feeling very good. But if you guys want to check out Omaha Steaks, they're giving a limited time offer to our listeners for Father's Day. I think Jared said his father is a big fan of Omaha Steaks.
Oh, my God. He loves them. I'm getting him like four boxes for Father's Day. I'm going to be the best son in the world.
Well, and you can get 78% off on those boxes, Jared.
Holy moly!
If you go to omahasteaks.com and type in Dean, D-E-A-N, in the search bar. There's not a promo code. It's in like one of those little search bar thingies. So check it out, omahasteaks.com. You get, what is it? All of this stuff included in one box? Am I reading this right? It says two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four fried chicken steaks, which I thought were fantastic, two boneless pork chops. I could keep going. The list is, I don't want to waste too much of your time.
It's crazy.
You get some free Omaha steak burgers with your purchase as well. And I think it only costs you about $49.99 when you get all of this together.
Wow.
At omahasteaks.com if you use code Dean. So don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use the code Dean in the search bar. Grab your dad and fire up the grill. Jared, I know you're probably going to be back in Rhode Island for Father's Day for that, right?
I'm not going to be back for Father's Day, unfortunately, but I'm going to have it sent to my house. So,
which is great. Which is even better. That way he gets the package surprised.
Yeah.
What was the one for Mother's Day? It was the Sherry's
Berries. Sherry's Berries, baby.
Yeah.
Sherry's Berries for Mother's Day. Yeah. Omaha Steaks for Father's
Day. This is the version of Sherry's Berries for Father's Day. Omaha Steaks. Got to get them.
That's fantastic. Vanessa, we didn't talk about your dating life at all.
Vanessa, how's your dating life going?
You guys know about my dating life.
Well, tell us about it. For the listeners, just a little preface. We'll probably touch on this at the end of the podcast as well. But Vanessa is traveling back to Montreal for the summer tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to miss you.
Haven't necessarily discussed the full-on logistics of how we're going to handle that.
I think I might be calling in or...
Going to like a studio in Montreal?
I don't know. We haven't figured that part out.
We'll figure it out. We have a full 24 hours to figure it out.
Yeah, that's great. Plenty of time.
Under 24
Fill
hours.
Fill us in though, because last we heard you were still dating this guy.
So it's right now it's a little bit of a long distance thing, and I'm not opposed to long distance at all. I love long distance. Not that I love long distance relationships, but it's fun because you get to see each other and it's nice, and you know, you get to have like some time apart. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm not putting any pressure on it because I'm someone who like dives deep into a relationship as soon as I like someone.
So yeah, you're saying that 0 to 100.
Yeah, 0 to 100.
Real fast. Yeah. Real quick.
So I don't know.
Do you ever
know,
find yourself falling in love with the things that you don't know about a person?
What do you mean?
I feel like I'm kind of guilty of that.
What do you mean falling in love with things that you don't know?
How would
when
you know?
When you don't know so much about someone, you can kind of fill in the blanks for yourself of what you think they might be, and then you start to fall in love with
falling in love with the idea of it?
That not sounds like a recipe for a disaster.
Oh, 100 million percent. Okay. I'm just asking. I was just kind of like, you know, thinking.
I think, I have a tendency of romanticizing a relationship and being like, oh my God, he's going to be a great father. He has this. And instead of like actually looking at why things could possibly work out versus why things could possibly not work out, you know, like I have a tendency to be like,
this is the one
instead of actually taking my time to date them slow. It's weird because I don't know how to date someone. I don't know how to date multiple people at the same time. Like if I like you, I'm going to date you and I don't want to have any other options of dating other people.
Yeah, we were talking about the podcast a couple weeks ago about how you focus on one person and then if it doesn't work out, you move on.
But I don't know, like maybe I should change my ways because apparently it's not been working out for me.
Not to shift gears too quickly or anything like that, but let's talk Bachelorette for 1 second.
Yes.
Sure. So I'm sure we all watched the episode. I know Jared and I obviously watched it and mm-hmm. Vanessa watched it last night as well.
Yes.
What are just initial thoughts? Okay. Maybe like a couple minutes on this.
Yeah. Wait, I wrote some notes down.
Oh, so gosh, she's ready to go.
No, these are my like top, like, oh, these guys are cute. Okay, Colton, obviously, like, adorable. Yep. Love him. He has his charity.
Mr. Perfect.
Clay, you look at him, he's like buff. And you know Clay, the football player?
Wait, oh, Clay.
Clay. He's buff, but then he has like this sweet voice and he comes from such a nice family. Garrett, I feel like Garrett is going to go really far with his minivan entrance and
there was definitely like sparks flying. She seemed very attracted to Garrett.
And he got the first rose. Yeah. Blake Lincoln's voice, his accent.
You like?
Oh,
you like it?
Yeah.
I thought they kind of teased him being a villain a little bit in the promo.
It seems like he's going to be a villain.
Really? Well, okay. From night one, he seemed like a nice guy. Christian's, these are my notes. I wrote Christian's face, !! Those eyes and cheekbones. Gah.
Eyes and cheekbones.
I don't remember.
Okay, Camille. I mean, oh yeah, he was cute too, but he's like 60-40 when he was like telling that.
He got sent home.
Did he get sent home? Yeah, social media participant got sent home.
Oh, good.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
50-50, and then he went 60-40.
I know,
she's the Bachelorette. You gotta go to her.
Yeah.
100. Trent. I don't remember what Trent, but I wrote LMAO for Trent.
Oh, Trent was the guy, I think, who popped out of the hearse, and he's like, Becca, when I heard it was you, I literally died.
Okay, that was funny.
It was pretty cute.
I like that cheesy stuff.
Okay.
And then I wrote Connor is cute.
I hated every single one of them.
What? No.
I know Colton personally, so of course I like him.
Yeah, we met him. He was sweet.
Yes. Joe, the grocery store owner, I liked.
I mean, I liked him. He got sent home, right?
He'll be in paradise.
He'll be in paradise. I think Chris Harrison teased it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like
that. Will he?
I think that there is a lot of room for me to be won over. The only person that I like is Colton, but I don't know. I guess
what
we'll
don't you like
happens.
About the other guys? Like, for example, Garrett and Blake are two front runners. What don't you like about them?
Garrett said he kept saying some stupid, cheesy little thing to Becca, and I was like, that's getting old really fast. I'm already annoyed by it.
Yeah, but you know what? Night one is... Do you guys remember night one?
No, of course.
I don't remember half the shit I said on night one.
I agree fully with that statement, but I'm just saying there's a lot of room to be left over.
Totally.
To be won over. But I guess my question with you, Vanessa,
yes?
is let's put you in the shoes of Becca right now and say you're dating 30 guys at the same time.
My worst nightmare.
Wait, actually, I just pieced this together. You're moving back to Canada for the summer. How long? Yeah. When does Bachelorette Canada film?
I don't know.
Is it possibly the months of June to September in Canada?
Maybe.
Are you going to Canada to film the Canadian Bachelorette? This is amazing.
No, I'm not.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
I'm not.
Our Canadian Bachelorette.
Oh my God, no.
Who would you have given your first impression rose to?
Oh God. I mean, I did like Garrett.
So you would have given it to Garrett.
I would have either given it to him, Colton, or Clay.
Garrett does kind of have this all-American, like, I don't know, feel to him.
Yeah.
Cool story.
Yeah.
Garrett, Clay, or... No, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember that much. I just wrote these notes down, but I don't remember, like...
So Garrett would have gotten your first impression, Rose.
Yeah, I just like the whole, like... Because, listen, I had, like, not a traumatic breakup with the love of my life.
Your Lommel?
My who?
Oh, never mind. Go. Keep going.
Love of my life. Oh.
When I see those types of things, I always, like, I say LOL lol whenever I read it like in a text or something.
Oh, I gotcha.
So with my ex, he at that point in our relationship, he's like, he wasn't sure if he wanted kids or not. So that was like the biggest thing every time I entered a new relationship.
Oh, so any guy walks in and say they want kids, and you fall head over heels for
them. This is what I mean. This is the problem. I romanticize relationships. And I think
everybody does.
Yeah, a lot of people have a tendency to do that.
Does this gentleman you're currently dating, have you guys had the conversation about children?
He does want kids, and he comes from a great family.
Good.
But there are obstacles.
Of course, there's obstacles in every relationship, totally. Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, there you have it. Vanessa would give her first impression rose to Blake, same as Becca.
No, Garrett.
To Garrett,
well, listen,
same
as
Becca.
I said Garrett, Clay, or Colton.
Okay, so you narrowed it down to three. There we go.
I will say I just got done hanging out with Lauren Zima for a second. Apparently, Garrett was liking some controversial things on the internet that he...
Yeah, I was going to really touch on it, but there was, like, apparently his Instagram, which have since been deleted, apparently
really?
Liked some, a couple years ago, I think at this point, but liked some possible very right-wing controversial Instagram posts. That's, yeah. But I don't really know about it too much. I just read the headlines.
Which maybe is even a topic for this podcast, not so much outside of Bachelor. It's, could you date someone... Not that's necessarily enables bigotry or anything like that, but does social media presence for the significant other that you're dating influence your decision or like your feelings towards that person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I hate saying it, but it's true.
Yeah. I'd rather them not have social media.
I would almost think that's my situation as well.
I agree.
Like, say you start dating someone and then, like Vanessa, for instance, say you start dating someone and then like a couple weeks later you check their Instagram and they're posting like a bunch of like mirror selfies, like Woo! Shirtless selfies. Are you out?
Yeah.
I don't think
I would judge them that quickly. You know, there's like one persona on Instagram and then there's another, you meet the person in person and they can be a totally different person. So I don't know. I wouldn't judge them just based off of Instagram. But
it's hard not to.
Yeah. It's like you can't get that image out of your head.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way that they present themselves to the world. I don't know. I've definitely noticed that my Instagram usage has gotten skewed a little bit more douchey since post-Bachelorette show.
I think all of ours has.
It kind of has to be a little bit more self-centric, which is kind of a bummer. Like before, I used to like,
why?
I don't know. It's just
you don't have to be.
I like before I went on the show, I would post pictures of like landscapes or my dog, and now I post not selfies, but I post
pictures of you,
me, and a picture of me with my friend, and a picture of me with my friend. I don't know.
But you said that you prefer they not have it at all.
Yeah.
It's not a red flag to meet somebody who has no social media.
Well,
presence?
No. I don't know. And isn't that sad to think that there might be something off with them if they don't, or there's something that they're hiding
in
if they don't have social media?
2018 is a little weird, I think.
My roommate,
or, okay, fine. Someone who has social media but doesn't use it as much as maybe I would or people in my past would.
Mm-hmm.
Your roommate has zero.
He deleted it all, like maybe a month or two ago.
Why?
What's his number?
Why did he delete it? He just said that he noticed himself like mindlessly scrolling and wasting time and just like kind of filler, like time filler.
Well, it's proven that it's just like the chemical that gets released in your brain every time you
endorphins?
Go on social media. Yeah. Like anytime you get likes or anytime you get comments, it's the same chemical that's released that like when you take a drug or take a sip of alcohol, it's addicting. Social media is addicting.
Is that why you were so hyper coming in, Dean?
I'm getting so many likes, baby.
He was flipping chairs and peeling my
good.
Banana.
No, I had a tall iced coffee and an energy drink before coming here. So that's why I'm talking fast and everything. But no, it's funny because people will text me and be like, hey, why did your roommate block me on Instagram? I'm like, he didn't block you. He just deleted it. And then like girls, he like invited a couple girls over to like the beach the other day. And one of the girls made a comment specifically that was like, I find you so much more attractive knowing that you deleted your Instagram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just it adds a different dynamic to it that I guess I don't know it's really taken.
But I wonder if it's like an immediate attraction because you don't have social media because it's different and cool. And then once, say, she starts dating him, she finds it weird that he doesn't have social media. Like, wait a minute. Now that I'm dating you, you're trying to hide something?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
He did also just recently go through a breakup, and he says not having Instagram for that breakup has helped him immensely.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. You can go down a rabbit hole.
Totally. I remember this was like 7 years ago, but when my ex and I broke up, we blocked each other on Facebook just because, like, you don't need to see them posting pictures of somebody else.
Yeah.
You block them. I mean, we've talked about this before. You still have separate Instagram accounts. I mean, I personally have separate Instagram accounts.
You do?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Shut up.
I've got Deanie_babies. I've got my...
Why are you even saying it? Why are you saying you're...
Yeah, what are you doing?
These are secrets. Aren't they supposed to be secrets? Like pseudo accounts?
I have the Help I Suck at Dating podcast that I post for the episode every single week.
Oh.
You have
access to that? I know. I'm like, who has access
who else
to
would
that
it be?
Account?
That was a fan account.
That's me.
No.
Okay, cool. All right. I will definitely start interacting more on that Instagram.
That's why I ask you guys to send me pictures and you never do.
Well, hold up. You're the one that takes all the pictures on your phone and sends me all the ugly ones.
That's not my fault that you decided to look like that in the pictures that we
take.
Okay. That's true.
And then I have a third one that's a private account that only my friends follow that I follow.
And how come I'm not part of that account? Jared, are you part of that account?
I'm not a part of that account.
No one from Bachelor Nation is part of that account.
Yeah, he wants to keep it a little private. That's understandable. Because if we start following, people will see that.
I have two accounts.
There you go. What's the second account?
My No Better You Foundation.
No Better You, right. So you could block someone on your Vanessa Grimaldi account, but then go to the No Better You and look
at creep.
Yeah.
I'm a creep.
We're all guilty for that. Don't make me out to be some crazy delusional.
Same here.
Cool. So for this very next segment, we have the author of Confidence Creator, Heather Monahan. Heather, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hey, Heather. So it's me, Dean, Jared, and Vanessa. And I did that last time. It's
me,
only
Dean.
Three of us.
Me, Dean, Jared, and Vanessa.
I understand maybe someone might think Jared and I sound alike. Anyways, Heather, it's Dean, Jared, and Vanessa. Thank you so much for calling in and taking the time to speak with us today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Jacked up on Mountain Dew. So, Heather, tell us a little bit more about your book and maybe the role that confidence plays in dating nowadays.
Sure. So the book is all about the lowest moments in my life and how I use those moments to discover and find ways to create confidence, and how the reader can too. And I think that, you know, confidence applies to everything. It doesn't just apply at work or at home. You know, it really can completely change your situation in regards to dating, you know, immensely, not only from the standpoint that, you know, when you don't have confidence, you're not going to be willing to approach someone because you're going to be far too fearful of what they might think of you, to actually being on a date with someone and being yourself. Because when you're not confident, you know, you might try to mirror someone, you might try to act like somebody else, but you're definitely not going to bring your best version of yourself to the table when you're not feeling your most confident.
So Heather, does this apply to, I don't know, as I think we had this discussion like a couple of times, when I've usually been in relationships, and the reason why I ended up in those relationships was because I had to build up the courage to go up to the guys. Yeah. Do you feel like, no, I swear to God.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
It's true. Do you think that comes? Do you think that's like? Why are you guys laughing at
it was
me?
Just a funny reaction.
Said, said it was.
Funny.
Well, you
just look at us and you're like,
everyone went
yeah.
silent. Like no one believes me. I swear.
No,
I don't.
I
do not get. I don't get approached. As much as
I don't believe that you don't get approached, but I also believe that you go up to guys.
Yeah. Totally. Now I lost my train of thought. Thanks, guys. Sorry, Heather.
Well, you're gonna ask Heather a question about approaching guys. I feel like.
Oh wait. So yeah. So does this book apply to women as well?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So, you know, the story is told by me. So if anything, you know, the whole concept of the book and the tactics and strategies are applicable to men or women, any age. But because I'm telling it from the standpoint of my personal stories, I think it resonates even more, you know, real when a woman reads it, because it really is, you know, it's very specific stories around sexual harassment, bullying in the workplace, you know, personal challenges, breakups, divorce, all of those different elements are in the book. And I think it really connects strongly with women.
Well, so I'm sure there's a lot of different elements, like you said, that are covered in the book, but what is your personal experience with confidence in relationships?
You know, I write about that in the book. I actually write about when I was dating my now fiance. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I felt really insecure because I had been divorced and, you know, I was disappointed in relationships and down on myself. So when we first started dating, I was not my authentic self, and mm-hmm. I would hold back. That was always my strategy when I was younger. And I didn't realize I was holding back because I was insecure. And now having the chance to look back on that time and realize that, you know, I didn't want to be the one to text first, or I didn't want to invite him to do something serious because what if he said no and I scared him away? I was always playing games in my mind instead of just being my real self, because I just didn't feel confident in those moments. And when I look back on those times, it's painful to see. I keep journals, you know, all throughout my life, and I look back at those journals, and it's really eye-opening to see what a change it was for me over the years. We've been together on and off for 8 years. And, you know, over that 8-year span of time, as my confidence grew, our relationship evolved and changed for the better.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting when you talk about confidence and how you have to use confidence on a daily basis, and it works just like a muscle and it needs to be developed day in and day out. And I am a firm believer in that as well, is that you have to work on your confidence. It's just naturally not going to come to a lot of people. And one way to build confidence I heard as well is to imagine yourself like a cloud or like water. Have you ever heard about this? Because if you ever look into the sky, a cloud's never wrong. Like, have you ever seen a cloud that's wrong? No, it's just there's all different types of shapes. I know this is really, but
you're
I found this very interesting.
You're going to be a great dad one
day. Maybe, but like, it's just interesting to think that like, in terms of trusting your own instincts and having confidence within yourself, because a lot of times you lack confidence, which makes you not trust your gut and doubt yourself.
Right.
And the way you get over that is sometimes, for me, one.
You envision
somebody,
a cloud?
Well, I don't envision a cloud, but a tool to use to build confidence is like to always try to imagine yourself as a cloud or as water, because water's never wrong or a cloud's never wrong. They're always different shapes, right? You've never seen a cloud and you're like, well, that's wrong. No, it's just what I'm saying is, though, I've always found this very interesting, and it's a way to build confidence for me personally. And I wonder if other people use it as well. That's all.
Heather, what's your standpoint on the cloud water?
I think that's very interesting.
Surprisingly,
very interesting. That's for sure. It reminds me of that that Bruce Lee quote, be like water.
I do understand what you're saying. It's really about self-acceptance and knowing that you're enough no matter how you are, which is a great fundamental practice to build confidence. And I think that, you know, that's definitely a piece of the whole picture. It is just getting to a place, and part of that is, you know, through growing your confidence, that you are enough and you are willing to listen to your inner voice and act upon that, because all of those steps and actions really help you to build that confidence daily.
Do you think that typically you see men and women in relationships grow confidence throughout a relationship, or is it ever the inverse of that, where confidence starts high and it begins to waver as time moves on?
I mean, don't you think it's both ways, depending on the people and the situation?
Well, 100, I 100% think that that's the case, but how do you go about helping people with the latter of that, where they start out super confident and then as time moves on, confidence kind of begins to waver a little bit? Do you address that all in the book?
Well, I don't address that topic in particular in regards to relationships, but one of the elements that I talk about, and every time I speak at anything, I address this point, it is critical to fire negative people from your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that when I initially heard you say, maybe they started off both confident people, but as the relationship goes on, they both lost their confidence. To me, that sounds like a negative situation. Something's off there. So, you know, if someone's bringing you down, holding you back, speaking down to you, you know, putting you second, and you begin allowing that, that's the kind of person you need to fire from your life. Because when you remove those types of people from your life, you literally take off as well as your confidence does simultaneously.
Well, there you go. That makes a lot of sense.
That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I think by accepting someone like that is showing that you're allowing that person to see you in that way, you know, like, I don't know if I'm explaining.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I think a lot
of you're chipping away at your confidence when you allow someone to treat you that way and push you down and speak down to you. You're really hurting yourself internally.
I mean, I think when you get in that situation, all you have to do is just think about clouds.
That's it. Clouds and water. I'm telling you, people.
Clouds and water.
No, but Heather, I understand your point. I think sometimes it can be challenging though, because oftentimes with those relationships, and I've experienced in the past. That's why I asked the question is. You know, you develop obviously real feelings for a person, but then you notice the confidence begin to waver on either side, and then it becomes one of those things where you maybe recognize it as a defect in the relationship, but you're so invested in the relationship as it is, where it's difficult to kind of fire that relationship, as you said.
Do you think like those insecurities or lack of or confidence going downhill throughout a relationship is the fact that you are realizing that you're so dependent on somebody else?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
That's what I've always been wondering about relationships, is that because you have so much love and that you're so dependent now on that love for happiness, mm-hmm. that like if you ever lose it, I think sometimes you lose confidence in that because you're like, no, I can't screw this up. I can't screw it up.
Well, I mean, you need to have boundaries in any situation, and that's the one thing that comes to my mind when I hear you say that. So, you know, there is no relationship should be everything. At the end of the day, you should be everything, and your happiness is, you know, defined and comes from you. And while it might be sad that you love someone and that relationship could go away, you will still always be fine if you really are a confident person. And, you know, the unfortunate part of life is that people are going to die. They're going to move. They're going to get fired. They're going to cheat on you. There's going to be ups and downs in life. But when you truly have worked on your confidence and developed it and have a sustainable plan to move forward with it, those blows will not knock you down. You will be able to recover and bounce back very quickly. And I speak with a lot of experience. You know, I'm 43 years old, so I've seen a lot of these really major life-changing elements. Even the recession back in 2009 was a huge life-changing moment for me and a real difficult time. So all of those different things, the economy, the relationships, health, you know, all these things are going to happen to everyone at some point in your life. And it's all about how you're going to respond in the face of it. And if you are a confident person and you practice that daily, you are going to respond very quickly and bounce back.
So Heather, can you give us an example on something that maybe we can work on every day to build that confidence?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, practice is a critical element in developing confidence in any situation. So I know that a lot of people are fearful of public speaking, for example, and so they don't really find their voice and they don't speak up, and maybe they'll make excuses. Well, I don't need to be a public speaker, but then you notice seeing them in a meeting and they never raise their hand. So, you know, for whatever your challenge is, or maybe it's with asking somebody out on a date, it doesn't really matter what the ask is. It's all about practicing. So one of the things that I suggest for people to do is, if you are that person that has a hard time speaking up, maybe it's just tapping the person in line in front of you at Starbucks and introducing yourself. Mm. At the end of the day, you're not going to die if the guy doesn't turn around and say hello and ignores you. Mm. But for you, that's a confidence building moment, because you're using that as a practice moment in your day. It really is irrelevant what the outcome is, but it's helping you to see, wow, I tried something new. I tried speaking up and introducing myself, and life went on. I was okay. So the next time that element or opportunity arises and you see that person you want to go on a date with, it'll be a little bit easier to tap that person on the shoulder, because you've been challenging yourself daily to put yourself in that, you know, previously uncomfortable situation. Well, if you practice like that for 30 days, every single day you do it, on day 31, it's going to be pretty easy to tap the guy on the shoulder. And that just comes with the discipline of practice.
I think that's really good, because, yeah, practice makes perfect. And if you practice towards things that maybe you're not that invested in, when the day comes when you're actually invested in talking to someone, you'll have the confidence to actually go up to them because you've been practicing with yourself. And then you talk about, you know, like communication. And I've always wondered about, within a relationship, to build confidence, I believe that communication is a huge factor in building confidence within a relationship, because I've always lacked confidence when I don't know something, when I'm kind of in the unknown of like, is this, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something right? But when I actually talked about it with my partner, I end up growing more confidence within the relationship, because then I either know I'm doing something right or I'm doing something wrong. But now that I know that I'm doing something wrong, I can work on getting better at it.
Yeah, and that's also, you know, communication is critical, and it's also about you speaking up. So what, when you communicated, you were speaking up with whatever your truth was, and those are huge confidence-building moments. So it's having, taking that step, taking that action of having that conversation, and realizing it doesn't have to be an argument. For me personally, when I was younger, I thought that if I was going to speak up and say, well, you know, maybe I'm wrong here, immediately I would get into an argument, because I was getting defensive and I didn't feel confident and I was scared. And learning over time that, you know, removing emotion from the conversation and approaching it in a very factual manner allows you to remain calm and allows the other person not to get triggered, which delivers a better outcome.
I like it.
I like it too.
And I think you mentioned this a little bit earlier on, but a lot of our listeners will email in, and one of the main issues that we come across with them is just their unwillingness or inability to introduce themselves. And I know you said, just obviously, like, it takes practice. It takes like 30 days to kind of train your mind and become better at introducing yourself to people. But what type of advice would you have for, you know, like the casual dater, whether they're 21 or 31 or 41, however old, to kind of help them with that introduction, other than just, you know, going for it? Is there anything specific that you could recommend for them?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is asking for help. So we all have networks of people in our life, and you're always so close to that next person that you could potentially be a fit with. So reaching out and tapping your network, your friends, the people that live in your building, your next door neighbor, the person you run into at the grocery store every Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have these circles of people that we know that are in our world, and reaching out and tapping those people individually and asking them for help. Who do you know that you think would be a great match for me? That's how I was set up with my fiance 8 years ago, was through that exact situation. So when you find good people in your life and they like you and you like them, asking their help and asking who they might know in their circle that you don't know really will deliver you some nice, warm introductions, so you don't have to be taking that cold introduction every time.
Definitely helps make it take the pressure off a little bit if it's not quite as cold.
It definitely does. It makes it much easier, much more comfortable for people, I think.
Huh. I wonder if you should maybe coach some people before going on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, because they could use a little bit more of that confidence.
I think those people have totally different challenges than what we're talking about.
Anything helps, I'm sure. Well, Heather, is there anything else that you're working on besides the book that you just came out with?
Yeah, so my new book just came out on Tuesday, and it hit number one. We released and bestseller within a couple of days. We sold out today.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a crazy run, so it's pretty exciting. We sold out of our hardcovers today, and a new shipment's coming in. I think it's coming in tomorrow. So it's been a really exciting week, and just really lends itself to, you know, realizing that building confidence is, you know, not only is it important to me, but really it's applicable and important to everyone. So what, you know, during this process, I've had so many people reach out to me on social media. I'm on, you know, all the platforms, and I get DMs all the time asking, how did you have the confidence to go out on your own and the confidence to do this? And that took me down the path of writing the book. But during the time I was writing the book, it was brought to my attention that, you know, the younger generation really loved videos. So as soon as I finished working on Confidence Creator and went into publishing mode, I began working on a video product version of Confidence Creator. And we're actually in edit mode right now with that project. And it's really bringing the book's tips and strategies to life in an e-learning course through a video series.
Love it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, okay, so for the listeners out there, if you want to get your hands on Heather's book, be sure to check it out on Amazon. Like I think you said, it's sold out right now, but you're getting a shipment soon. It's called Confidence Creator. I think I'm creeping your Instagram right now. It's doing better than Trump's Art of the Deal, so that's obviously a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, that was an exciting day.
That's awesome. Well, Heather, thank you so much for taking the time to call in and giving us a few pointers. I think we could all benefit from a little more confidence on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Thank you, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
And best of luck with the books and videos and everything. Maybe we'll circle back with you sometime in the near future.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Well, I think I could use a little bit more confidence.
I like that idea of you know, focusing on something that you know you want to work on, and then actually going out there and working on it.
Let's do that exercise right now, Vanessa. What do you think you need to work on?
I'll go last.
Jared, what do you think you need to work on?
That's ridiculous. We asked Vanessa first.
Be more confident in your decision making.
Yes, actually, you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
I'm not really good at making decisions. I'm always like in my head second guessing things. So like, yeah, making decisions quicker.
I agree.
Was that a burp?
No. Sorry, it was just a weird noise that I made. Absolutely. My indecisiveness. Yeah. It's absolutely something I need to work
on. When's your birthday?
November 15th. I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, no, I'm a Libra. I'm supposed to be balanced, but yeah.
When's your birthday?
September 30th.
September 30th, November 15th. What do I need to work on? I think that I would like to be more...
Yeah, see, it's a hard one.
You're perfect, Dean.
Dude, I'm pretty damn perfect. I need to work on being more humble, I think. No, I'm just kidding. I have a lot to work on. I think that I want to wake up...
Well, while you're thinking about that, what I did really like about what she said is that you have to practice being confident. Because I think a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm not confident. I don't have confidence in myself. Well, it's something that you actually need to work on. And you need to practice it to make perfect. And so one thing that I really liked is if you have trouble approaching people, approach people that you don't care about. Mm-hmm. Like you're in a Starbucks and just say hi to someone. And then do that for like 10 days straight. And then somebody that you actually want to approach, I think it will really help you approaching them because you've already talked to so many people that you're kind of like a social butterfly at this point. It'll be easier to go up and be like, hi, my name is so-and-so.
I think I just realized what it is. I'm the opposite of that. I want to work on my confidence in saying no to people because I really struggle with that. Even yesterday, for instance, is Memorial Day.
I just thinking, like, you were just talking about how, like, oh, I'm perfect. I need to work on my humbleness. And obviously, you're joking. And now you're like, no, but you know what? I need to tell people no.
Well, it's true. Like, yesterday, for instance, my friends and I were at the beach for Memorial Day. Obviously, everyone had the day off of work. So we went to kind of gather around and, obviously Memorial Day, so let's go ahead and take a moment to thank you the people
Absolutely.
That thank risked
you
their lives
for
our country,
who served this
the
country.
Men and women. Anyway, so we had some friends having barbecues. They're like, yeah, come to this barbecue. And I always say, yeah, like maybe I'll come. We're like, sure, I'll come. With full well knowing I'm not going.
Oh.
But rather than saying no to them in that moment, I say, yeah, text me or like maybe I'll come, like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And what I need to work on, even my roommate pointed this out yesterday, was I just need to start saying no.
Yeah.
I'm not
You
coming.
Overpromise and underdeliver.
Not even overpromise, but I don't like telling people what they don't like.
You don't like hurting people's feelings, and you'll go so far to like
them by
not showing up.
Not showing up,
right.
Exactly, when saying you will.
And I think to relate it back to Heather is I think that there should be some sort of art of confidence in saying no to people like that because I think all of us want to be people pleasers, but
yeah,
of course.
I think I got a lot better with that too because I was always like, yes, 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 because I'm a people pleaser too. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, okay, I know either A, ask me to go out at 3 o'clock during the day, I'll be like, yeah, let's do it. By the time 9 o'clock comes around, I'm like, nope, I'm in my pajamas and I don't want to go out.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm like, oh, I'll circle back and let you know how I feel after dinner instead of.
I think a lot of times, too, it's giving the person the opportunity to actually handle the truth. And that's something I work on as well, because I'm a people pleaser as well. And so I'll sometimes say yes when I know I'm not going. And so now I try to understand that they're going to be just fine if I don't go. Mm-hmm. And so that's when one thing I've been working on, saying like, no, I can't make it. And it's, I'm not really hurting their feelings all that much, because they're going to be just fine. Giving them the opportunity to handle the truth, yeah, rather than beating around the bush to try to make them feel better.
There it is.
Yep.
Mark, what else do we want to do today?
Well, we have an email right here from Julia that I'd like to share with you, and I'm going to activate a phone line before I read this email, all right? The email reads like this. It says, hi, Dean, Jared, Vanessa, and anyone else reading this. I was wondering when the man, the myth, the legend, Alex Bordyakov, will join you on the podcast. He has been mentioned a lot lately, and I wanted to know if he will ever be a guest. He is my favorite guy from Rachel's season, no offense, Dean. I ask if he will ever guest because I have a slight ulterior motive. I am from the same city as him, Grosse Pointe Park, and I wanted to know if he has any hack to dating in our area. That is, if he is currently dating. I moved back home to Michigan from college 3 years ago for a job and haven't really pursued dating since moving back. I want to focus on the job, but I'm ready to get back out there. Any tips are appreciated. This is from Julia Rose. And P.S., Jared, your love story with Ashley makes me so happy. It helped me realize, aww, I should seize the moment and get back out there.
Wait, well, thank you, Julia.
Who is Julia asking about?
Julia's asking about Alex Bordyakov.
I have no idea who that human being is.
It's interesting because he's on line 6 right now.
Oh, he's on the phone?
He's
on the
phone. Yes, he is.
Wait. Alex!
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hi, Alex.
Oh, from my season of The Bachelorette.
That, yes.
It wasn't ringing any bells for me at first.
Is this a podcast? I'm
going to come right out and say it. It sounds like Julia wants to date you, Alex.
Yep. Exactly what I was thinking.
Yep.
But she does raise an interesting point that I think you can help us tackle, because when we talk on this podcast from the perspective of me, Jared, and Vanessa, is it's always the dating in Los Angeles, and that only applies to 13 million people, however big Los Angeles County is. Alex, what is dating like in small town Grosse Pointe, Michigan?
Well, let's address the fact that this is, Dean is supposedly my good friend, at least on Instagram, right? And I only heard from Amy and Vanessa.
Yes.
And here's the thing.
And I actually haven't talked to you in like a week. I know you're not that busy because I'm a text message or something,
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Oh, the bromance is real.
And I was going to text you and be like, hey, man, I'm excited to have you call in on Tuesday for the podcast. But I wanted our conversation to be authentic for the first time in a week. I wanted the listeners to feel the electricity between the two of us.
Oh, we can feel it.
Oh, they'll feel it for sure. dating here, in Grosse Pointe, which really is right next to Detroit, it's still a big metro area, is a little different. I mean, most people actually end up engaged or married pretty young. It's crazy. A lot of the kids, so I coached swimming in college after I graduated, and a lot of the kids that I coach are married already, and I'm still single.
Wait, hey, Alex, how old are you?
29.
Okay.
I'm about to turn 30 in a couple months here.
Still young. Still cosmically young.
Young buck.
Yeah, still young enough. So I don't know about hack here. I mean, obviously, with social media and all the dating apps, a little different. We don't really have any. We can't really get advice from parents anymore. Like, we are the first generation going through this.
Good point.
So, all the advice, we are the ones that should be giving advice, like you guys do with this podcast, to the younger generation. And you can complain about all you want, but, the reality is this is the evolution, and this is what's happening. This is where we are. So, I'd say online dating is still probably, that's the most, basic way you can go about it. I just, I'd say creep hard because the thing is you have all these people putting out all this information about themselves. So I'm not saying make these rash judgments, but look into it, look for the red flags. Don't waste your time. You don't have to waste your time to go on a date now with someone that you're going to find out these flags. That's, that's my number one thing. Even with, when I used to do, online dating, I would look into these pictures. You pay attention. Okay, what are they doing in these pictures? Are there too many selfies? What do their friends look like?
I don't know. That's tough, though. Alex, hold on. So my friend was like, I have this really good, cute guy for you, blah, blah, blah. I want to introduce you to him. And I creeped him on Instagram. I'm like, oh, he's cute. Anyways,
From what? Finish that statement.
And anyway, so he creeped my Instagram. And you know what his reaction was? Oh, no. She looks like she's ready to get married. She looks like she wants to be a mom too soon. So I'm not interested in dating her.
Vanessa, to be fair, you are ready to get married.
No, yeah, so you're putting out the vibe you want.
Right. Okay. Right,
I mean,
but
he's just not the guy for you. That's all.
That's
a good thing. Like, why? He would be a waste of your time. So he did the right thing. He creeped you, and he said, all right, that's not for me. And that saved you time. So
yeah, I agree with Alex.
Yeah. But there's more to me than just wanting to be a mom.
No, of course. But I don't think Alex is saying that. Alex, you're not saying you should judge everything.
Yeah, just look out for these red flags.
Right.
I mean, like, red flags as far as, like, what are you looking for as far as a compatible partner?
Right.
Like, would you, yeah, like, if you saw a guy who was on an Instagram who just had, like, 13 shirtless selfies in, like, the past, you know, month, of course you would judge a little bit, but,
I would.
You know, I don't think you'd judge entirely.
Like all of them, but yeah.
I mean, I'll say it right now, Alex, if I had abs like you, every other picture on my Instagram would be a shirtless selfie.
Yeah, I hate putting out those pictures, honestly.
Yeah, but you know exactly what you're doing when you do it,
exactly.
And I respect the hell out of you for it.
The thing is, if I never put them on, then I'm like self-conscious about taking my shirt off, because every time I take it off, people are like, oh, he's just trying to show off. And yeah, I'm like, no, I'm a swim meet. I'm on the beach.
For the listener, so Alex and I went to Coachella together. And before we went, he was like, I'm terrified of being reverse body shamed. And I was like, what does that mean? And he says, every time he takes his shirt off, everyone like, what do you say? Everyone asks you how you get your sick abs or like how you're so in shape or something like that. And you say it's taxing on you. Or what do you say?
It's not taxing, but like people do assume that if I take my shirt off, like I said, if I'm going to pool, if it's a hot day, like, oh, he's just been like looking forward to this moment to take his opportunity to take his shirt off. And so now I just have to sweat through my shirt in order to maintain this like humble, outlook.
Hey man, if you got it, flaunt it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
But that does, to your point earlier, what do you think the reasoning behind like, because you've been to LA a few times to visit me, your friend Tino, but culture, like dating culture in a small town like Grosse Pointe, granted it's not that small of a town, but it's so much different than it is here in like Los Angeles or like New York or a big city, whatever it is. So do you, like for Vanessa, because like it's hard for you to meet someone that wants to like start a family right away in Los Angeles. Do you think that moving to Montreal or?
I don't know. I'm heading back. So
that's the point I'm trying to make. It's like, do you think that?
I think so.
You're kind of like a product of like the environment that you're in.
Yeah,
in
of course, you're always a product of your environment.
Absolutely. I mean, LA, obviously, everyone complains, and you have this perception of these unlimited options of people you can date, really. But whereas in reality, I think most people really focus on the terrible choices that you were presented with, because I mean, really, you're presented with more options than ever before, both good and bad. But I think I'd say ultimately more bad options. So it feels like it's post-apocalyptic time of dating now, but it really isn't bad. I think it's good. If she was, is it 3 years off from dating?
Who is this?
The email that we're talking about.
Oh, right. 3 years off.
Yeah.
I think isn't that the reason I'm here? just getting back out there. I mean, for me, like when I go on dates, I just make sure the date that I set up is something I want to do, something I would do either by myself or with a friend.
Sounds selfish.
So I'm not a big like fan of dinners or stuff like that. Like for me, a lot of times I'm like, I want to go ice skating or I stay very active. So like skiing or something, and I'll invite people. And even though like it might not be a great date, I know I'll have a good time. So like whatever she's into, like maybe she's a runner, like just invite someone for a jog. Like you really don't have to commit to these big dates that I feel like a waste of time, honestly. Like if you just keep going on the same dinner movie date over and over, you're gonna really exhaust yourself.
Well, so let's help Julie out real quick. You said that you have a lot of friends in Grosse Pointe that are either engaged, married, in long-term serious relationships. How did they end up meeting their significant others? And do you have any suggestions for her to meet someone in Michigan?
Oh, no, you got to get out.
Makes sense.
Wrong girl. Yeah, there's nothing. I don't know. I think it sounded like I said, because she took some time off, and you just start going on dates. Like, don't be afraid to go on dates.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, nowadays they're either lazy or they feel like this negative stigma is attached to dating a lot or going a lot of dates. And I think you can make a lot of fun. I mean, don't make it about, obviously, like, hooking up and all that, but, like, if you combine it with activities you already do, if you work it into your schedule, I think you can have a lot of time. And she can be aggressive. I mean, if she likes a guy, ask him out. Like, make that first move, slide into DMs, whatever it takes nowadays.
I guarantee she's already slid into your DMs.
Probably.
I'll double check.
Keep your eyes peeled for it, Julia. All right, Alex, I have one more burning question for you that everyone in the studio and everyone in Bachelor Nation is just dying to know. Are we going to see you in Mexico this summer?
Yeah, probably not.
Why not? We want to see those hip-hop abs down in Mexico.
Yeah, I'm just lagging a little, but I mean, I'll be honest. I actually told the producers I would do it, but I don't think they're going to ask. I'm pretty sure the casting's already done for this season, so sorry, guys.
I'm still holding out for Alex for Bachelor for next season.
Yeah, that's all fine. But I probably would come to L.A. for a couple months this summer just to hang out.
Well, nice. Well, I'm sure that you've seen, well, I'm not sure of it, but Jared, Nick, and I have been making these ridiculous Bachelor recaps. We would love to have you come in and
totally, man,
help us out. I know you're a big
actor. It was actually really fun. I actually, I just watched, I didn't see the whole episode, but I saw you guys' recap, and it was really funny. I mean, I don't know who's doing the writing. Is that all Nick?
Or? Oh, it's all improv, man.
Yeah, a lot of it is.
I know you, Dean. You're not that funny.
I've been taking some improv classes. I'm getting better, all right?
Are you really?
Of course not.
I would say I think you're too busy taking out a P90X or whatever, a hip-hop app.
I'm just trying to catch up to you, bud.
You know what's funny? I used to do a hip-hop app with my sister back in, like, college. So
that's embarrassing, and now everyone knows that about you.
No, I'm serious. Dude, Sean T was a man.
I'm not gonna lie. Beachbody on Demand, I love it still to this day. But
killing it.
All right, Alex. Well, thanks so much for calling in, buddy. We miss you. We're excited to hang out with you when you get to
LA.
Thanks,
Alex.
Thank you so much, Alex.
And Julia, thanks you as well for all of the incredible dating advice for Gross Point.
Yeah, sorry I didn't have better advice for you, Julia.
Great advice.
All right, see you, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, Alex is super nice.
He's so fun. He's like my walking Google. Every time I have a question, he'll have the answer for it. I was like, oh, because he was listening to our... He actually listened. He tuned in when I was talking about like freezing my eggs. So he sent me this lengthy message about how it's not good to freeze your eggs. I'm like, how do you know this stuff? Yeah.
I'll Google stuff and talk about it. And he's like, you should never trust Google. That's wrong. And I'll tell you exactly why that's wrong. It's just like, okay, Alex. I think that Jared can attest to dating in a small town, but what?
Oh, no, go ahead. Please.
Oh, I was just going to say, totally. And like, it's interesting when you say you're a product of your environment. When you're in Los Angeles, one of the first things you ask people is where you're from, because everybody comes to Los Angeles.
Oh, no, I feel like everyone asks, what do you do?
Well, I feel like it's where are you from and what do you do, compared to a place like Gross Point where it's like, well, where are you from? Well, I was born in Gross Point and raised in this particular city. And same thing in Rhode Island. Like, everybody that is dating in Rhode Island is from Rhode Island, where in Los Angeles, it's like everybody that's dating in Los Angeles is from some other part of the country that's coming here for work or aspirations to be in Hollywood and film and so on and so forth. So I don't think a lot of people come to Los Angeles for dating compared to other parts of the country where you kind of like, you're born in one part of the country, you're raised in one part of the country, you get married. That's just kind of the way life works. So that's why I think in small counties like this, it's just a lot easier to meet somebody and get married.
Hey, when
maybe
people,
not easier, but you know.
When people ask you guys what you do, what do you tell them? Like when you meet someone at a party or something.
Well, I say, truthfully, 90% of my time is devoted to my charity.
Okay.
So I have a foundation.
What do you say, Dean?
I say I'm unemployed all the time.
Well, yeah. What's the definition of being unemployed, though?
I don't know if you'd be technically right on that one.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Are you not working? Oh, okay.
It's a conversation starter.
I technically quit
ender.
My job. I technically am unemployed.
But what if you have to fill out a form or something?
I say
like
self-employed.
You say self-employed.
Yeah.
I hate to bring a previous relationship into this, but whenever I would meet Leslie's friends, they'd be like, what do you do? I'd be like, I'm unemployed. And then she'd always get so pissed. She'd be like, don't tell anyone you're unemployed. Start telling yourself you're looking bad. I'm like, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
A couple more emails. And by the way, the emails have slowed, and I know why. This happens every time. We started the Facebook group. So now people go into the Facebook group for advice, and they stop sending us emails.
Oh, no.
It happened with Scrubbing In, and it happened with Almost Famous. Uh-oh. So don't forget to email us.
Yes, need those emails. Love the emails.
isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. This is from Brittany. She's currently dating a lovely 30-year-old teacher. I'm 25. We've been on a number of dates, and he's very, very sweet. He always messages me good morning, asks me how my day is going, plans for us to do things, etc. I'm starting to wonder if he is too nice. Is that even a thing? All I want is for someone to treat me right and spoil me a little. So why am I second-guessing someone that actually does those things? I'm really not sure what to think. Any advice is very much appreciated. Sending love from Australia.
I love Australia. I've never been to Australia.
I've been to Australia.
Oh, have you?
My honeymoon was in Australia.
Oh, I have family in Australia, and I have to go visit. Wait, I always say, Brittany, be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. So if you want a nice guy, you end up with a nice guy, but now you have what you want and you want something more. So I feel like that's the
grass is always greener on the other side, isn't
it? Yeah, and if you have like an asshole, then you're going to want the nice guy. So it's always like we want what we can have, and then once we have it, you want something different. So if he's giving you what I want a guy who's going to call me in the morning, he's going to wish me good night, and you know, he's going to be sweet to me and want the same things out of life. I mean, man.
Yeah,
I don't
go for it.
I say, you know, every once in a while, like your relationships will go through your ups and downs, and maybe right now you're going through one of your downs, but there's always going to be an up. So
sometimes it's too good to be true, but it's just that good. Like, it just works. He seems like a really nice guy. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, sometimes you overthink it. I think some of it too boils down to maybe you just don't really know what you want. Like, I feel kind of the same way. I thought that I knew what I wanted in a relationship, and then you end up kind of getting it, and you're like, I don't know, this is what I want anymore. Yeah.
And I think as human beings, we're always waiting for the ball to drop. Yeah. We're like, something bad's gonna happen.
Oh,
something bad's gonna happen. Like, this can't be this good.
Always kind of like bracing for impact.
Of course.
I mean, Jared's right. I mean, sometimes it's too good to be true, but it's true, so just like kind of let it be what it is.
Let it be until something bad happens, exactly.
It sounds like this guy's pretty cool. 30 years old, he's a teacher, he's treating you really well.
Exactly, and it's early on too, so maybe he's really trying to prove himself to be like, hey, I really like you. I want to show that this is real and this is something I want to work towards and move forward with. So maybe he's just kind of like amping it up a little bit because it's still early on. He's like, no, I want this to move forward with you.
And there is such a thing as too nice.
That was my question.
I'm too nice.
Oh, yeah, there is such a thing as too nice.
I'm so nice, you guys. I'm like the nicest person. I'm just kidding. No, but there definitely is a thing as too nice. I think...
we talked about it earlier,
listen,
about how you're too nice to really hurt somebody's feelings, so you end up hurting them
but
more.
But I don't think there was too nice. I think there's someone for everyone. So for the person that you might not want someone who's too nice. You might want someone who has a little bit of spice in them, you know?
A little spice.
Yeah. But I think there's someone for everyone, so I don't think there is someone that could be too nice.
But Vanessa, what about the thing where women are attracted to the bad boy, the guy that maybe doesn't treat them quite as well, and they find that more intriguing and more alluring?
Well, I think it's also for guys too. Like, we all want a challenge, right? We want someone who like constantly makes us feel like we're on our toes and we don't really know like where we stand, and it's kind of like the chase. And once the chase is gone, it's like, ugh, I'm bored.
Is that what she's feeling? Is she bored because he's too easy? He's just there?
Well, I also think, like, I think girls just like confidence. And I think bad boys have a lot of confidence. And I think that's where it comes from. But I also think that fizzles out. I don't know what your thoughts about that, Vanessa, are.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that gets old fast. It's like an immediate attraction. Exactly. Immediate attraction, and then it just fades out because you're like, I hate this, and this really sucks.
On the flip side, do you think a girl could be too nice? If you were a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Of course.
Can be too nice.
A girl be too nice?
Yes. I'm just trying to think of... So my former girlfriend from years ago was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. To this day, one of the things that I admire so much about her is whenever she met someone, the person would walk away with like a smile on their face, like, aww, oh my gosh, what an incredible human being. And I always kind of look at her as not too nice by any means. She was like the epitome, like the height of excellence when it comes to niceness. And that was one of the things that attracted me her most. So I don't necessarily think that a girl could be too nice.
I'm sure she could. If she's texting you all the time with hearts and everything, bringing you cookies on a regular basis.
Yep.
Like, I'm just trying to think
of,
like...
No, that's wifey material.
Sign me up.
Maybe. That is wifey.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it could be smothering at a certain point when they're that nice and attentive to you.
Well, I also think in terms of being too nice, like Vanessa said, I want somebody who can challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes when you're being too nice, you therefore don't challenge your partner in certain ways. And that bothers me because I'm like, no. I want you to state your opinion.
Right.
I don't want you to be nice to me. I don't want you to worry about hurting my feelings. I want you to tell me what you're actually feeling in this moment.
And to that point, in the relationship that I was just describing, there was an emotional disconnect because it was just positivity all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was one time there was like an emotional thing that was happening with her parents. Like, they were discussing a divorce. And I was like sitting her down. I was like, please, let's talk about it. Like, this is difficult, I know, but we need to talk about this for your sake, for our sake, for our relationship's sake. And it was just one of those things where we were like, no. Like, we're not going to, like, we didn't talk about it because our relationship was too nice, I guess is the way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it kind of works both ways.
Of course.
So for Brittany, we're saying he sounds great. He doesn't sound too nice, but we don't know if he's the one for you or not. Only you can answer that question.
Yeah, keep going with it. Certainly don't like be scared that, oh, it's too nice, it's too good, it's all going to fall apart. Don't be scared of that. Just keep going.
See where it goes. Fatima has a question for the guys.
I'm glad we got this one because I wanted to answer
this. This is good. Yeah. This may be a stupid, embarrassing question. When guys send emojis, do they question what emoji to send a girl and whether it's friendly or if it's so flirty? Do guys struggle with sending the right or proper emoji, or is it just me, she says. There's a guy I occasionally message, and I can't figure out if he's being friendly or being flirty. When we message each other, he sometimes sends me a message that I see as flirty, but then he uses emojis that I consider friendly. I showed my cousin the messages, and she said he's just confused and doesn't know what he feels. So, emojis. Do guys put the kind of thought into them that women put into them?
Well, I love emojis. I'm pro emoji. I use emojis in every single text, even like to my guy friends. I'm sending to my brother. I'll send emojis, and he's even called me out for that before too. He's like, "Bro, stop sending me emojis." I love them. I think they're great. I'll even like send like a long message and then just follow it up with a couple smiley faces after it.
Yeah, you just want to be like, "That was a good one."
You know how when you just send an emoji, it's like three times the size as if you send it in a text.
True, yeah.
So I like the big ones, and so I'll send them separately sometimes. And especially like I don't know, it's fun to. It's like a good way to convey the way that you're feeling. It spices up the conversation via text. I don't personally think I put a lot of thought into it, but I am a very big emoji user.
And Vanessa, as a girl, if a guy sends you emojis, how do you feel about that?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I think now that I'm getting older, I'm like, I'd rather you not send me emojis.
But yeah, let me say, I'm not sending like winky faces or anything like that.
My favorite emoji is the poop emoji. If you're sending me that, then I know
it's game on.
We're meant to be.
I like the huggy emoji.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of all the emojis.
The one like this?
I like the awkward, like, smiling emoji, the crying and the laughing emoji.
Wait, what's a flirtatious emoji?
The one where the tongue is sticking out?
Like,
that's a little aggressive, I think.
Which one?
No. Like, it's like,
winky,
eh.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
Not, no, that's like crazy. That's like, nah.
Oh, no.
I would not interpret them differently.
That's the issue too, especially over text message. Everything can be interpreted differently because it lacks tone.
Yeah.
It lacks.
Yeah, at one point the laughing one I thought it was a crying one. So I would send that and people thought I was laughing, but I was crying.
Oh, okay. That can be easily confused.
Well, that's not working.
But you're right, everybody interprets it differently. So it's like who the hell
knows?
What
are the flirty ones and what are the friendly ones?
The smirky one's flirty.
Smirky's
the one like this,
flirty.
Like, that's
like
flirty.
Damn girl.
Yeah, hold on. I want to go through mine now.
I think the one with the tongue out is kind of like, eh.
Well, listen, if I'm tongues.
This one? Yeah, there's a couple different ones. That one's more like fun.
Which
the
one
with
that?
One eye open, one eye closed, tongue out.
Let me see.
But there's also one with
like that one.
The eyes are
sideways.
Yes, the eyes are sideways and the tongue is out. And that.
This one.
There's also the purple one with the horns.
Yeah,
that's like very devilish.
Devil. Yes.
Yeah,
that's flirty,
I don't find
right?
that flirty at
no?
all. No.
You don't like those?
No, I find just the simple ones, like the cute, like smiley one, like this. The one. So definitely that one, the poop one, the wink one, and the one that they're doing this.
What's that? Describe to our listeners what the hell you just did.
Like,
oh yeah, what is that one?
I can't wait to see you.
I know someone that smiles
it's
like
blushing.
That a lot of his Instagram
pictures. The emoji's blushing.
I don't know. I'm not gonna say his name. Anyways, long story short of that segment, I'm pro emoji. Do you text emojis to Ashley?
No.
No.
Wait, no, not really.
You know what I'm really into now?
I guess sometimes, but very, very, very
this
infrequently.
Stuff.
The hand emojis?
Yeah.
Those are fun.
I send these to like my nephews
look at the
and anyone that has
Do you
kids.
Use Bitmoji?
No. Oh, God, no.
Bitmoji's pretty fun.
No, it's not
I know.
Fun.
But you don't like Bitmoji?
If a guy's sending me a... No, I had this entire conversation with
like
my roommate.
Friend?
And there was a really cute guy that sent her a Bitmoji. She's like, all right. So she stopped texting him.
Oh, wow. Well, that was aggressive.
You can't come out of the gates with a Bitmoji, but
no.
I think once you guys like establish a rapport.
Yeah, and you're kind of funny.
Yeah.
We also need to establish that there's never been a person who looks like their Bitmoji, no matter how much you think you look like your Bitmoji.
Except for Erica or someone looks like their Bitmoji.
Who's Erica?
Or no, maybe Erica came in. She was like, I look just like my Bitmoji.
You don't, Erica. You don't.
you don't. Yeah, I get that often.
I think the advice for her is to not overthink this as much.
Yeah, don't.
Not necessarily because he's not overthinking it. He might be overthinking it, but everybody interprets them differently, and that's the problem.
It's like sprinkling a piece of pizza with some like pepper flakes. It just adds to the flavor a little bit. It doesn't really mean anything. It's not like centrally like crucial to the story.
Between pizza and clouds today, we learned a lot about dating.
Would you like to know the top five emojis?
Yes.
Yes.
This is data from 2017. Number five was the heart.
Okay.
Number four was winking face. Number three, the smiling face with smiling eyes.
Oh, what? That's the one.
See, is that the one
that's
I said?
That's the one, yeah.
Number two is the loudly crying face.
Uh-huh.
No, but sad face, I think.
Oh.
But yeah, mouth down. And the number one emoji.
Let's guess it. Wait, can we guess it?
Go ahead, guess it.
Poop emoji, poop
the
emoji.
I bet it's the normal smile one.
The laugh emoji.
Poop, 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 poop.
It's the smiling face with open mouth and smiling eyes.
I think I nailed it. Oh, maybe not. It's just the normal one. The first one, the smiling
that
one.
That was so anticlimactic. I think so.
Yeah, that was loud.
Sorry.
It's just like this.
Yeah, it's the normal smile emoji.
Yeah, but no, his eyes are like this.
Yeah. One more fun fact for you. The number one emoji in America, because this is not poop, but it's...
vomit.
Nope.
What the hell?
It means something that it's not intended to mean.
The eggplant.
The melanzan. Yes.
Right. Although, listen to this. You're
gonna
love this.
That one is definitely flirtatious.
This is going to make your day. Canada uses the poop emoji the most.
Wow.
Does it for real?
Yes,
it does. I'm
real.
So Canadian.
Who'd have thunk? Well, does that do it for this episode?
I think that's it.
This is
the last episode of Vanessa's summer in Los Angeles.
Oh, Vanessa, we're going to miss you. But the good thing is we'll talk on the phone every week.
I know, but it won't be the same.
Oh, I know. It's never going to be the same. Well, you'll be back in Los Angeles.
Who's driving me home today?
Are we just... What?
Well, that does it for our show.
Well, Vanessa, thanks so much for your stint co-hosting the podcast. It was fun while it lasted.
Oh, well, she'll still be here. Not in person, but just over the phone.
I'm sorry, Vanessa, but this is...
I'm sorry. Right now, it still looks like it's your podcast. It's your face.
Yeah, I make the decisions here.
Dean kicked me out earlier in the podcast, and now he's kicked out Vanessa.
God, it feels good to have power.
Stay humble, Dean.
Yeah, well, it was fun. I mean, have fun hosting your own podcast from Montreal. That'll do it for this episode of Help, I Suck at Dating.
I'm Vanessa, and I'm going to miss you guys.
Oh, we're going to miss you, and I'm Jared.
And I'm Dean, and a big thank you to Omaha Steaks for their delicious, delicious steaks. Mm. Be sure to send some to your father for Father's Day. I'm sure he's going to love it. What Mark said earlier, we have a Facebook group. Be sure to subscribe, but we still need listener emails to be sent to isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
Yes, please.
I forgot to fill out my first week of the bachelor bracket. I think you did.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoopsies. I did too.
We got to do that. We're going to be on there next week. We'll fill out the bracket. We're going to be interactive. We're going to be there for the Facebook group. Thank you, everybody, for joining that Facebook
group.
And
we still have not figured out a prize. Perhaps we can just put our heads together and get one for you settled for next week. But
there will be a prize.
There will be a prize. Anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. This has been Vanessa, Jared, and Dean. Be sure to tune in next week where we'll be Vanessa-less, but we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.